The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It must be Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. We're here for you every Saturday to talk about your career, get you back to work, talk about workplace issues, visit certain industries, look at how the pandemic perhaps has affected certain types of industries. But we know we do everything here, and we committed when we came back on the air in April, or was it May, Kenny? I don't remember. But whenever we did come back, we said we're going to get everybody back to work. We're going to do the best job we can and try to get everybody back to work. One of the industries hit hardest, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know this. You just have to be either part of the industry or watch the news, is hospitality. And we keep looking at it every 2 or 3 months with our good buddy Matt Santarpia and his director of HR, Eric Buchholz. They'll both be joining us today. I do feel that hospitality is sort of a bellwether for not only the Long Island region or the New York region or the tri-state region, but the whole country. If hospitality can make it all the way back and get its people employed again and start making money again in the restaurants, then I think that's going to bode very well for the economic and social part of the economy that has been struggling. So I want to welcome, well, not yet. We have a lot of information about these guys. So before you do that, Kenny, you came up with a stat that I thought we'll hit our guests with. Nearly 90% of New York City restaurants and bars couldn't pay full rent in August. This was a story run on Pix 11 News that you found a great find. Way back in April, you know, 8 million restaurant workers, 2 out of 3 in the whole country were laid off. So it was a total catastrophe back then. It's gotten a little bit better, guys, but I hope you're going to tell us that it's going to get better still and that these restaurants are going to start paying their, being able to pay their rent pretty soon. Tell us what you have, Kenny, about Cullinart.
Cullinart Group is a regionally focused boutique dining service provider backed by Compass Group, the global leader in food service excellence. Cullinart's talented leadership team follows a people-first philosophy that drives their customized programs. They operate on-site dining programs for corporations, higher education institutions, private schools, healthcare facilities, and recreation and leisure destinations in 18-plus states. As a food service provider, Cullinart manages more than 300 locations, including cafes, catering, concessions, executive dining, office coffee, vending, and micro markets. For example, they provide the dining services at Stony Brook University and Nassau Community College, the Knox School in St. James, Con Edison, and the United Nations in New York City, and rec and leisure destinations such as the Cradle of Aviation Museum in Garden City and Woodbury Jewish Center. Cullinart also produces and stages special event catering for weddings, bar, and bat mitzvahs, and large-scale galas and events such as the Hampton Classic Horse Show. Their corporate culture, Cullinart has always been a company inspired by a sense of purpose, and now, more than ever, that purpose is clear, helping their clients and their associates get back to work here in New York in all of the communities they serve. Their mission is to create active and open relationships with their partners to fully understand what is most important to them and how we can best execute food and service expectations for their guests, whether they are employees, students, residents, or special guests. Their vision is to provide the highest quality dishes prepared in the cleanest, safest environments by the best trained culinary staff. These dishes are delivered within the context of sound wellness and nutrition principles and in a manner producing the least environmental impact.
All right. Thank you so much, Kenny. Welcome, Matt and Eric.
Wow. Thank you so much. Kenny, that was some introduction. We got to take Kenny on the road.
I know. Kenny is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
And, you know, in a couple of weeks, tune in, we're going to let Kenny host the show. And so that's going to be interesting. He is by far the best radio personality we have had as an intern in the 6 years we've been broadcasting here. I love the guy, and he's a big Yankee fan. So we text at night when the ball games are on.
Yes, sir.
So it's been a great relationship, Matt. Almost as good as mine with you. And I tell everybody how amazing you are on the radio, Matt. And welcome Eric Buchholz.
Thank you. Thank
that
you.
Is right. We're with Eric Buchholz, our HR director. I report to Eric. So, Scott, we got him. And Kenny, I'm glad you really playing that up because I got to look very good in front of Eric.
That's right. It's
of
almost course. Appraisal time, and Matt's right. looking for an increase.
Okay, well, you came to the right place because when it comes to Radio Jobline, he is an ace, Eric, and I hope you will see that for yourself. Guys, I read a statistic a little while ago that hurt me to read, that I believe it was 90% of the restaurants in New York were not able to pay their full rent in August. And that hurt me to read. And I still believe that the hospitality industry has a long way to go. What I want you to do on today's show, guys, is tell me where we've been, where we're at now, and where we're going.
Well, first of all, Scott and Kenny, on behalf of myself and Eric, we want to thank both of you for this opportunity. You know, we always love this radio program. Scott, you're terrific to us. It's a great resource to job seekers and for people to know about what's going on. I want to start off with a little bit of good news, if you'll indulge me.
Please.
We're calling from one of our largest locations, Stony Brook University. We're in one of our executive conference rooms where we have a terrific partnership. The university is up and running, limited, but up and running. Our client, I want to mention by name, he's really more than a client, he's a partner. His name is Van Sullivan of the Faculty Student Association. He invites us to serve here at Stony Brook University. And speaking about recovery and getting back to the business of serving and helping people, Stony Brook University is certainly a wonderful example. We'll talk more about that later. And hot off the presses, Scott, just so you know, the Compass Group was recognized by Forbes magazine for best employer for new grads in the country. We made that list. We just got the press release, certainly, a few days ago. And why I bring it up is because there's so much negativity and there is so much crisis and so many problems that are happening as a result of the virus. And all of those are tangible items. I mean, this is really happening. But I wanted to start off with a couple of positive notes to lead into our discussion about light at the end of the tunnels. Mm-hmm. Scott, I threw those in there for you because we like to start off on a positive note, my friend.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've been starting off with too many negative notes, but I'm glad you did that, Matt, and I'm glad to see that Stony Brook is functioning again. And I didn't actually meet or talk to Van Sullivan, but he is involved with the interview process that I was involved with last spring before they decided to shut down the university. So it was just a troublesome time for everybody. And so now tell us the good news. You know, we want to hear, you know, what I'm seeing is that dining is reopened. Internal dining is reopened here on Long Island. I can't speak for the rest of the country. But what is the state, you know, around the country, Matt, with inside dining?
Well, you know, Eric and I are both going to answer. But let me tell you now, in the beginning, when I spoke to you a few months ago, we were in the height of the pandemic, and we were really, in our industry specifically, the hospitality industry, which has been hit the hardest, one of the hardest, it was a discovery period for all of us, right? What can we do to move forward as an organization? What can we do to ensure the safety of our employees, our team members, our partners, and our guests, right? And now we're transitioning into that new normal, mm-hmm. where we're reactivating these businesses. Certainly not to the same scale as it was before the pandemic, but we do see a lot of movement in that business reactivation process.
Yeah, I think it's we've had to. We're still, you know, delivering, health and wellness and great food, but it's a little bit different. We're doing meetings with clients virtually, right? Or meeting with student groups virtually and answering questions they might have about, allergens or whatever it may be, but also the service. So with the schools opened up, and a lot of them, instead of, the kids coming to the cafeteria, we're bringing the food to their classrooms and we're serving them there. So that's
the whole service model, as Eric mentioned, has changed.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, our service model has changed, and Culinart being part of that Compass Group family of companies has been so beneficial to us, especially during this transition period, because we get to pioneer kind of cutting edge, best in class technology for our hospitality industry, which has kind of eased the burden along as we reactivate not only schools, but corporate accounts. I mean, you mentioned the restaurants in Manhattan, and I read the same article, and I think that's problematic, not just in Manhattan, but across the country, as, you know, businesses have closed, and you're not allowed to have any business brought in. You know, what can you do to survive? But I do see, not only in our business, but even in the restaurant business or the small business segment in the hospitality industry, we do see, you know, forward momentum and some movement. It's not as quickly as we'd like, but we're looking at everything through the guise of safety. So it's slower than we'd like, but for good reason.
So I think as people come back and they see our, you know, the safety processes we have in place, how we've redesigned the services where, you know, it's not self-serve anymore, right? There's no salad bars, but we can customize a salad for them. We have grab and go. We have more options. We can deliver the food to them in some cases. You know, when people are getting more comfortable, they see that we've got good safety practice. They're feeling more comfortable about coming back to the cafeteria, and it's growing. It's growing slowly, but we're moving in the right direction. Certainly a lot better than where we were, you know, just 2 or 3 months ago.
Sure. You know, we have seen incremental, you know, positive attributes as we continue to move forward. And what we do, Scott, you know, at our company, you know, focused on hospitality and services, we have a program called Navigating the New Normal Together, which is a specific type of training program where we talk to our team members about what does this new normal mean for the industry? What can we do to keep each other safe moving forward? And what can we do to provide the best, safest product to our guests at the end of that line? So we're doing that a lot with all of our team members, and we're finding that helps.
Well, if I could just add something to that, it isn't just a challenge a challenge to get people into our dining facilities. It's also been a challenge to get our employees back from furlough because they have kids that had to stay home, right? And they had to take care of their children, or their spouse might be out of work. And so that creates a whole other set of problems that our employees have to deal with that we've been trying to, you know, work with them so that they could continue to come to work in some shape or fashion.
Right.
So it's getting the customers back, but it's also getting enough people back to be able to provide those services.
Yeah, we never really talked that much about the attitude of the server or the supervisor or the manager in terms of, do they really want to be back really close to these people again? You know, so I'm sure, right, knowing your organization as I do, I'm sure you've come up with a fantastic training program to put people in the right head and in the right safety mode, you know, so that the business can continue as close to normal as possible. Tell us about how your training has changed.
Well, that's a great question, Scott. And, you know, our training is based on a program specific to our company called Compassion. You know, I mentioned the offshoot of that, which is kind of navigating this new normal together, which is kind of an ancillary training piece. But the Compassion is the Compass program, and it's divided into a safety and a hospitality piece, right? So we talk about what we have to do to provide the safest possible product and service, but then also we have to remember that in the middle of this crisis, we're still in the hospitality business. So we end with that service piece, too. How do we do that and still maintain high levels of customer service? And, you know, this program was designed in conjunction with the Cleveland Clinic, which is a Compass Group partner.
Right.
So we've had great, great results with the program. And how we're getting it to our team members in this new age is a lot virtually. It's on-site as well, but the whole delivery method of the training has changed as well. We're doing micro learning segments, right, where we're taking bits and pieces and getting it to our team members, you know, more apps, etc.
Yeah. Oh, we did, you know, Matt did a whole video series, you know, they're 30-second spots where he shows how to properly wash hands. How do you put on a mask the proper way and take it off? And then, you know, and wash and sanitize your hands afterwards. How you sanitize your station. And these are all things that the employees have learned. But for those of them been out for 3 or 4 months, they've lost that muscle memory.
Yeah.
So these little 30-second videos that they can, you know, manager takes out their phone, hits on YouTube and shows the video, it reminds them, oh yeah, you know, these are the 6 steps to proper hand washing. This is how often I have to do it, and so on. And those are 10 different videos.
Yeah, 10 different videos. We created a YouTube channel. So we're kind of leveraging all this technology to get this information to our team in the height of this pandemic, because that's changed the game in many different areas.
Yeah, Matt reminded me yesterday. I had forgotten to take the compassion training, right? So I took it yesterday, and one of the things they were talking about is, you know, people come into the cafe and the server is, you know, wearing a mask. So we're always taught make eye contact, smile, greet. With a mask on, it's a little bit tougher to make that connection, right? So instead of, you're probably smiling underneath the mask, but you also have to greet folks, right? And you've got to say it loud enough that they can hear you through the mask. And those are all things like we've learned along the way. You know, we were talking about innovation. We've actually been able to innovate a little bit because we've discovered that, you know, we need to do something a certain way, or discover there might be a better way in terms of efficiencies or delivery, because we've had to do it, right? We've had to change. So, I was going to think of an example and offer an example off the top of my head. I think it's the speed of delivery, right? Moving people through the cafes.
Or the flow of the cafes.
Yeah, the flow.
Have changed, you know, Scott, in restaurants or cafes like we operate, and we have restaurants or a la carte as well. I mean, everything has changed due to social distancing. So how are, you know, guests enter a facility, how the guests order through a facility, how they exit the facility, how much capacity can be in that location. So all of these things now kind of change, you know, how we're looking at the service model. Mm-hmm. Because we never, ever, we thought about flow, but we never thought about capacity limits, and we never thought about social distancing for virus-related activities, right? So a lot of that is new, but thankfully, we've been able to navigate that together.
All right, so one of the questions I have is what does this new normal look like? And I don't just mean with Compass. By the way, I did get that compassion includes the word Compass. So I just wanted to say I didn't miss that. My other question is, what does the new normal look like? I'm going to be honest with you guys and say that I have not been to a restaurant since the winter. I have not been to a restaurant.
I'm surprised, Scott, because you're a restaurant guy.
I know. I love going to restaurants. And you Matt, we were supposed to go out one of these days, but we never did.
But
what's going to change? When I walk into a restaurant nowadays, what am I going to see that's different?
Well, right off the bat, you know, in any facility that you go into, there's going to be, changes on how you enter and exit.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be social distancing mandates. There's definitely going to be mask mandates. And in some cases, for example, you know, when our team members come into our facility now, I'm talking about our employees or our team members, you know, they go through a very thorough pre-health screening, you know, online or in person, including a temperature check, a listing of any symptoms. We review their personal protective equipment, etc. Now, in terms of, a diner or someone going into a restaurant from the other angle, from a customer or a guest perspective, there's going to be similar attributes, right? There's going to be temperature checks in some facilities, in some hotels, in some resorts. That's already happening here in New York. And there might be, you know, in some cases, I was visiting Lake Placid a few months ago with my family, and they were doing health questionnaires as you entered the restaurant.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Not only did you have to have mask, et cetera, and you know, sanitize hands, but you'd have to fill out a very quick, it was online, health questionnaire.
So that's, you know, for contact tracing and stuff like that.
Right, and that's the biggest change. But the restaurants themselves right now are all about social distancing, Scott, and capacity. Tables are apart from each other, basically.
Let me throw in here. I was driving home the other night on 347, 454, and I passed a Pace's Steakhouse. Everybody knows Pace's Steakhouse. And there was a line backed up into the street of people trying to get into the place. The parking lot was full. And I said to myself, you would never know from looking at that place that there's any issue. You know, that everything seems 100% normal. So we have to talk about capacity. We have a news break coming up, guys. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor and Ken Connolly. We're talking today about, I think, one of the bellwethers of this pandemic is the hospitality industry. And we have the two guys on the show that can really give us the answers to what is going on, how the industry is changing, what does it have to do, how is it going to get into the future, what is the future going to look like, what is the present going to look like, and so on. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, you can write to me. I'm at scottp118@gmail.com. I'll be happy to have your idea on the show. We also post Radio Jobline on my LinkedIn account, so connect with me on LinkedIn, and you'll be able to hear the show even if you can't make the broadcasts. We get about between 1,000 and 1,500 extra listens a week just from the posting we put on LinkedIn. So we're doing a great job doing that. Hold on, we got a news break. We'll be right back.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor and super intern Ken Connolly. We have, I think, one of the most interesting topics going right now today is an inside look at the hospitality industry, how it has changed since the pandemic first hit us. What was it like in the midst of the pandemic? Where are we now and where are we going? We have two guys on the show that can give us the answers. Matt Santarpi, a director of learning and development at Cullinard, and Eric Buchholz, the director of HR. Gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Before we begin, we just have to read our commercial. Kenny?
Biz Shout, socially promote yourself or your business, is a social media, social networking, and microblogging service on which users post and interact with informative shouts. Registered users can boost their content organically for free and utilize new advertising services as they roll out. For their first advertising service, they designed a creative resume for self-promotion, which contains resume information, personal branding, and rich content, allowing hiring managers to preview a candidate's elevator pitch and skill demonstrations before an interview. Candidates can also blog about their expertise, post podcasts, and more in a handsomely designed portfolio. The creative resume is free to design and can potentially help their community land them their dream jobs 4 times faster. Build one today at bizshout.com, spelt with 2 Z's.
Thank you, Kenny. And Matt and Eric, I want to bust your chops just a little bit because I think both of you guys should have a podcast. And because a podcast is somehow better with two people. And Matt, I think you need a sort of a partner in crime. But I think you'd both be so great talking about this industry. I can't think of two guys more qualified to do it from the training, also from the training and HR perspective, which are the two big issues of hospitality. And so I just want to say you should start a podcast and then you can have Kenny as your announcer. Since it's one of the greatest companies to work for at a school. So I'm envisioning all these things. You can use Mike as your producer, and I can be your occasional guest. But just wanted to throw that out there. And the next time I talk to you guys, I want to hear about a podcast.
Wow. Well, let me tell you, we've been looking at each other as you're saying that, of course, socially distanced. And we want you to be our manager, so you're hired.
All right. Well, I can help you set it up. It takes 10 minutes to set it up, guys. It's really easy. Then you route it through Apple iTunes so people can find it. They might Google restaurants. They might Google hospitality, whatever it is, and your show will come up. And you'll have plenty of listeners. Just promote it on LinkedIn the way we do. Matt, we're promoting Jobline on LinkedIn. Through my, I have about 9,000 people in my account, and we get 1,500 listens a week just from.
Yeah, I saw that. I was looking, and I heard you mention that, and that's wonderful.
We can't even believe it. You know how many, because we just think people are too busy, during the day to listen to the show. But I think they click it and they listen. and right. and that's how we know they're hearing it. So Jobline's gotten a lot more important now that the pandemic is here, and it's not really going to be gone anytime soon. But we could talk about that too. But gentlemen, I just think you'd be so great doing it, Eric. You're really wonderful too, and I think you guys should do it together. But I'll stop now, and I'll go back to the show. But you were talking about the training you were doing, and obviously you made a great point, Matt and Eric, about people have to be retaught how to deal with customer service with a mask on. You know, you even said they have to speak a little bit louder. They have to you know, smile more with their eyes. They have to do things to make that connection with the customer. So continue with the training.
Well, let me add something to that too, because it's not just that, you know, creating that guest experience, but you know, keep in mind now you're being watched very carefully. Everything you do, right? If you were to scratch your face with your glove, now normal person would say, okay, let me change my gloves, right, and wash my hands and things like that. But customers will call that out, you know, and you do it kind of unconsciously. Customers will call that out, so we have to even be more careful. You'd think we were working in like some sort of science lab,
absolutely.
But you really have to be aware of what you're doing and the fact that we always had an audience, but now the audience is really paying close attention to everything you every move you
make. We're more visible.
Yeah, and you know, but you guys are standouts, because I was in a restaurant last week just to pick up a pizza. I just walked in to pick up a pizza, and I saw that the chef with the cook wasn't wearing a mask, and I'm like, oh my God, you know. And then I didn't eat the pizza. So it disturbed me a little bit, and then we go into our grocery store once in a while, and we see that some of the masks are not actually covering the nose of the person who's cutting your meat at the deli counter, you know. So that becomes disturbing. So I can only imagine, I'm going into a restaurant, I'm going to spend a decent buck to get a good meal. I want to make sure that mask is on properly, that it's clean. And you're right, I assume people are watching more than ever.
Yeah, and they really are. We're more visible with the training methods. Like, for example, you mentioned that mask, which is a wonderful, you know, training segment or a piece. And we spend time just talking about not only wearing a mask, but how you wear a mask, yes, how you project, yes, how you increase that overall service experience, if you will. But more than that, how you wear the mask correctly,
right,
covering your nose and face and changing it often if you need to, mask breaks, etc., in designated areas. So, you know, that has become a large focus of the training and being visible, as we mentioned a few moments ago. For example, right now we're telling our team members, you know, we do five-minute sanitation breaks. So every half hour, we have a take five rule, we call it, or a take five program, where we stop service, whether it's on a line or what have you. We wash our hands, we clean and sanitize the area, we change masks if need be. It's a sanitation break, and it happens like clockwork. We literally set our clocks to that half hour interval. And we're telling our team members, if you have a line of people, you're going to nicely say to them, I'm going to pause for a moment while I take a sanitation break, and I'll be right back, right? You know, we're letting our guests know what we're doing more so than ever before, because now, in the midst of this new normal, quote unquote, they want that, Scott.
Yeah.
They want to feel that confidence, and they want to see what you're doing from a training perspective.
Right, and it's not just theater. It's a discipline that we've created with the staff. And I tell them all the time, listen, if you, scratch your face with a glove on and say to the guest, hey, excuse me for 1 second, I need to change my gloves and wash my hands, I don't think anyone is going to turn and say, no, keep preparing my sandwich with your dirty glove. People will understand.
Eric, are people doing this at regular restaurants as well? If you go into a, you know, a steak joint or an Italian restaurant or something, are people doing that same thing, taking those sanitation breaks? Because that sounds like an absolutely brilliant idea.
I can't speak for the restaurant in general. I mean, I know what we're doing, but what I've seen, and part of our business too, is not only doing what we're doing, but we keep our eyes and ears on what our competitors do in the industry as well.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've seen, yes, you know, more so, yes, they're doing it than not. Are they doing it with the formality we are? I can't be 100% sure. But overall, I do see positive measures being taken.
Yeah, I see people taking it very seriously because they know that it's not just about keeping the guests safe, but each other safe, right? And they're responsible for each other so that somebody doesn't bring something home to their family, mm-hmm. right? And we want to keep each other safe as well. And I will say when I go out, I think almost always, and I have had that pizza guy without the mask on. I think I had the same pizza. but, you know, I think people are taking those precautions because they want to keep themselves safe, keep their coworkers safe. The difference in a restaurant is we don't know what happens in the kitchen, right? Where in our cafes, it's everything's out front.
Yeah, it's more visible.
Right, exactly. But we're doing the same thing in the back of the house, right? Those take five every half an hour. We'll walk through the kitchen. Hey, just, you know, everybody just take five. Let's clean up. Let's sanitize. Wash your hands. And I do think, again, it's not just theater, but the guests see that, but also the employees appreciate that we are reminding them to wash their hands and change their masks, right, and take a break if the mask is uncomfortable. Throw the mask away, wash your hands, sanitize your hands, put on a new mask. And then, you know, wash, sanitize
right.
your hands
again. Yeah.
Because you've touched
it's by rote. And yeah. we're in it together, Scott. Like, yeah. you know, a lot of it is, it's a constant, always in our business, you know, we talk about, I'll throw a term you remember, active managerial control. I'm going way back. But meaning that the management team or leadership team is involved,
right,
in every step of the process. But we're empowering our team members to do that, too. You know, if someone's not wearing their mask right, you can tell them, you know, it's not over your nose correctly. You can get a manager. So it's kind of like, as a society, we're all taking a little bit and piece of it to make that, you know, big issue move further.
Right.
So we're all involved now.
Yeah, when I saw that deli counter guy cutting the meat with his nose not covered, I asked to speak to the store manager.
See, that's a perfect example.
And because I think there's something, you know, I know it doesn't come out of your nose quite as much as it comes out of your mouth, but still it does. And, you know, they're scaring the hell out of everybody now with saying that it's aerosol and it just flies through the air. I don't know if you heard that one recently. You don't know who to believe anymore from the CDC or the White House. But it's a train wreck. You know, what's going on with this pandemic, 200,000 dead people. I just can't believe it sometimes. That's half the people that died in World War II.
The numbers are staggering and sobering.
Yeah.
However, you know, we look at it from, you know, certainly that kind of standpoint as, you know, we see a lot of positives, meaning that, you know, we're making sure that we're instilling that confidence. So will you get sick from that deli person, you know, not wearing the mask properly? Maybe not. Maybe you will. But what does that perceive as you're looking through that deli counter and you see that gentleman not wearing a mask correctly? People get nervous, right?
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we're portraying that confidence regardless of the situation, right?
Well, and then, you know, within minutes, it's on social media.
Right.
Right? And especially when you're talking about like a college.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody sees something, they have a bad experience, everyone on the campus knows within minutes.
Right.
So, you know, you really have to be really, really careful. I mean, you're doing it for all the right reasons, but you're also doing it to show that, you know, people should feel comfortable coming and having a meal in one of our cafes.
Go ahead.
You said something earlier, and then we took the break. You were asking about, 90% of restaurants can't make their rent.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Matt and I were dancing around a little bit, but I don't think we answered that question. You know, we talked about it a little bit. You know, it takes a certain amount of money to open a restaurant for a 4, 5, 6 hour shift, right? It's kind of those fixed costs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of these restaurants are saying, hey, you know what? What if not enough people walk in? I'm going to be losing money, right? It's going to cost me more to open than to stay closed.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have moved to this kind of mobile ordering platform, and they've been successful with mobile ordering, and some have been slow to adopt that. And I think and it's kind of I'm casting a wide net here, but I think those are the restaurants that have struggled a little more to come back online as quickly. You know, we've adopted mobile ordering more and more as a innovation, right? We had been doing it, but now it's you know, it isn't just Grubhub. It's you know, our own mobile ordering systems that people are able to, and they can customize more and things like that. So that has been an innovation that has really taken off. And I think with some of those restaurants that were, you know, they were kind of waiting it out, didn't want to open up because, you know, I don't know if enough people are going to come in to cover my fixed cost. I think they're probably a little behind where some of the other restaurants, dining facilities were, their technology was a little more advanced. They were able to shift gears
quicker,
and deal with the pandemic and the challenges of that a lot better than some other ones.
I guess what I worry about, guys, is that there are restaurants that have been hanging on, and they hung on until they could do outdoor dining and make a little bit more money, and then now they're hanging on so they can do indoor dining, but it's only 25% in some cases, 50% I think in other cases. Is this restaurant industry, are all these hundreds of New York restaurants that are hanging on, are they going to make it?
Certainly, I don't think in the short term, no. A lot of them won't if they don't. I mean, that's a sad fact of this crisis. I think we can't say with any certainty that all of them will make it. I think certainly some will fall to the wayside. Let's say you were having issues, capital issues, before the pandemic. Well, this was the icing on the cake for you, right?
Right, right.
So you're really, and we've seen that in our own areas and neighborhoods. For example, where we are, all of us, we're at 50% dining capacity, whereas Manhattan, which is not far from us, is just going to hit 25%, you know, coming up, you know, in the next few days. So, you know, each area lags behind. But I think overall, and with the, you know, the outdoor dining, I think, has been a success overall. You know, we're now adapting to how to do that in the closer, you know, colder months with heating apparatus, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I think overall, certainly some businesses will fall to the wayside. But the future of the restaurant industry in New York and beyond, you know, even with this happening, is bright. It's going to take some time to recover. But I firmly believe, and if you look at, you know, scholars of our industry or articles that you're reading, there's certainly gloom and doom, which is real. But I think overall, you know, we're seeing that increase, and the future will be bright. It just, unfortunately, Scott, to your point, will take time.
Yeah, those companies that, or even, you know, standalone restaurants that can be nimble change up what they've done historically or traditionally, and maybe repackage it or do it in a way that's a little bit different that then appeals to, you know, a new audience.
Right. Let me throw it. I want to just shift gears about employment for a second. One thing I've always noticed about Compass Group Careers, the website and the company Culinart, is that you're a great employer. You employ, I don't know how many, I forgot, Matt, how many thousands of people?
The company, you know, Compass Group as a whole, you know, employs thousands of people across North America.
Right.
So we're in the thousands.
Okay. So you probably, you know, shed some people when the pandemic hit, which of course I understand. But are you hiring people back now? And can people look at the Compass website and perhaps their servers or restaurant managers or, you know, dishwashers or any part of the cycle, could they be looking for jobs now with you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, we've had folks that have not returned or choosing not to return.
Of their own volition, right?
Right.
Maybe they can't at this point, or they have someone at home with a compromised medical condition.
Right, and so, they're not going to return. And yeah, we do have positions that are opening up. It would depend on the location, right? So our healthcare locations, you know, are fully staffed. But they seem to be hiring more than our business and industry or education locations, you know, because those are a little bit slower to come back.
Right.
But yeah, we have thousands of positions posted that we're trying to fill.
And Compass Group
which
Careers,
is surprising, right?
Which is surprising. But that Compass Group Careers, and I know you're going to put it on LinkedIn and on the social media outlets, is a dynamic site.
Right.
You get your own, you know, career advisor when you log in. You can search the entire continent. But also what I wanted to mention as well, speaking about, bright side of things, we're also involved as a company in emergency services, right? So not just here at Stony Brook University, but throughout our company, whether it was food insecure people throughout New York or the first responders, or during the hurricane season, we were feeding the technicians coming in from all other parts of the country, the electrical technicians, et cetera. So we've been involved in that emergency services as well. And talk about, Scott, seeing people rise to the occasion within this hospitality industry and put their best foot forward in the midst of a crisis. We've been doing that for several months now, and there's so many stories of people going above and beyond. So that also is an interesting part of, how we do our business as well.
We're almost out of time, guys. The time goes so fast because you're both so good. Eric, what should people do that want to work for Compass?
So you can go to the, as you mentioned, you can go to the Compass website, compassgroupcareers.com. And let me just mention something else. There's a new program called Bench. You can download the app. You can get info at compassbench.com. And what this allows people to do is to take a job that's a shift work or accept a gig for a couple of days or at a time when they're available, right? And if they're home taking care of the kids during the day, there's work maybe after hours or on the weekends. So folks that normally would work Monday through Friday, they want to still work. They want to get back in the workforce. They can work different shifts and sometimes put a couple of different gigs together for a full-time job. But they might be working healthcare a couple of days. They might be working education a couple of days. But this Bench program has allowed us to employ people that have challenges working because of...
All right, I got to stop you there, Eric. We're almost out of time. Sorry, guys. You guys were fantastic. Thank you so much for being with us again to talk about hospitality. And hopefully one more time in a few months, we'll be able to stop talking about it. If you've been listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor and Ken Connolly, we are off the air, guys. Talk to you next week. Happy hunting.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.